Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio for a free trial and 10% off. Go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Jamie.
Do you think we should use Squarespace to make a dating site for Adam? A dating page for Adam?
And you know what it would be called?
What?
Squarespace.
That's already taken.
Maybe it'll be square-space.org.
Azerspace.
I see. Well, hello, everyone. I haven't done a fantasy football podcast in a while.
Who are you again? Square who's back in our space.
You're not Michael Hercombe.
I am not Michael Hercombe. I don't have a song, but I do have some notes. And send us your emails, everybody, at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line, and we'll read some emails and some tweets. I'm going to stop watching the women's hockey U.S. Olympic gold medal game, and you guys can just let me know when it's over and if we win. Tweets and emails today, news and notes, we got a lot of it, and we're talking tight end tiers and ranking a few running backs that were taken consecutively in our latest mock draft. Here's an email. Email of the day from Craig. It says, hi, Omar, Avon, and Stringer. All right, I'll look it up. I want to start off by saying I'm a huge fan of the podcast. Love what you do. You make my workday so much better, even if only for 50 minutes. Well, thank you. All right, here's the question from Craig. I'm going to be holding a live draft for the first time ever. 16-team league with all my friends. Some are making special trips back to our hometown for this, so I want it to be good. My question is, what should I do to prepare, and what kind of things will I need to get and buy? What do you think?
Now, this is a question I'm not sure I've ever had before.
Food.
Yeah, like what?
Drinks.
Let's make our own 16-team live mock draft.
Do you want to do that?
Depends where he's from.
Do you want to talk about some of the best draft experiences you've ever had?
I think I've only done one live draft.
Really?
Oh, you're so sheltered.
And it was before computer and everything.
Parents wouldn't let you out of the house? I mean, what is that?
It was before the computer?
It was before... You know, it was before the draft rooms and all that. You had to bring your magazines.
And so ever since the internet's been come into its own, you've drafted from home?
Yeah.
Or at the
office? And that was pretty much very early on in my fantasy football days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The whole commissioner product. I started probably just before that.
I feel bad for you.
It was really fun. I would love to do it again. It's impossible now.
It's harder, but,
hey,
you know, Craig
let's do
is,
our podcast league draft in person.
No, but, like, well, if we could, we would. That would be awesome. And if what Craig is doing is awesome,
if
too.
We weren't so busy, we could. We used to. My first draft here was a live draft.
Yeah, we all piled into the conference big conference room. Right. And
well, it's funny.
Got
even,
some grub.
Even when we do drafts here, everybody's in the building, we all do them at our computers.
That was, like, on your second day here, wasn't it?
I didn't even start yet.
Drafted.
I came in just to do the draft. I mean, I had the job, but I didn't.
I remember
started.
That.
I was so nervous. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, you know,
yeah,
it's time to step up to the plate.
A lot of pressure.
Everyone, I felt like everybody in the room was just staring at me.
Yeah.
Do you remember what pick you had?
It was 5 or 6.
Yeah. I remember.
I think I took Clint Portis.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. Okay, so how are we approaching this question?
Well, I've had drafts in poker rooms before where everybody, like, gathers around a poker table. That's just kind of fun. It's a nice atmosphere. It's a fun atmosphere. I've never done this, but I know guys who have hired people to serve drinks and run the draft board, and some of those people might not have been wearing shirts. I'm just saying. It's been done.
It's a hot day on the beach.
I've seen people do drafts at bars, of course. So maybe, like, in Craig's hometown, there's a cool place where everybody used to hang out.
Yeah, that,
and that would
seen.
Be a cool, good place to
I
go.
I still do that with my softball team.
Right.
We do our softball draft. Well, we did it at somebody's house 2 years ago. Last year, we did it at the bar that sponsors us. We did that 3 years ago at the bar that sponsors us. And so it's the most fun draft I have.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, just go to a place that everybody likes.
Why don't we do that with one of our drafts? Find a place.
We can, but, you know, the minute that we have, you know, Dave right now is like, oh, yeah, that'll be great. And then the minute we do it, Dave, like, I'm not going to come.
Sounds about right.
All right, so... I'm a pizza guy, I gotta be honest.
Like, it would be great if, like, let's just say Craig and all of his friends used to go to Adam's Pizza Joint. And so somebody goes in a couple weeks before and says, hey, I want to hold my fantasy football draft here. There isn't going to be a single restaurant manager in the universe that's going to say, oh, you can't have your draft here. Because you're bringing 11 people with you.
No, he's bringing
you're
15 people with him.
Oh, yeah, for this draft.
And he's going to be there for at least 3 hours.
But you get my point. You understand what I'm saying.
I think he's having it at his house.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, it doesn't. I mean,
it's time to leave the house.
Look,
it could be fun too.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of an environment you want to have it. But I think the thing would be is depending on where he's from. You know, especially if guys are coming back that don't necessarily live there right now. Whatever the food of that region is, you know, you partake in that.
That region?
I'm still just going pizza.
I mean, it could be, you know, buffalo wings. It could be. Could be pizza, could be Mexican.
But that
could
isn't necessarily regional. That's just what kind of food you like.
Well, it could just be regional to the area.
Like, I could go for Mexican buffalo wings and pizza
food.
All in the same draft.
Right.
Down here.
Right.
All right, order some pizza.
Yeah, get food
I won't
that
tell
everybody
you what type
likes.
Of beverages to get, but you can do what you want. Keep your shirt on, but maybe other people don't have to.
Right. Have a draft board.
Yeah.
Have a draft board.
That's important. I think that would be important.
Yeah, the draft board is cool because then you have somebody posting stickers or you have people do it themselves, and, you know, it's always a good. There's always some comedy involved with how people put the stickers up. Somebody messes up, puts it in the wrong spot.
Right.
Somebody does it upside down to be funny. Somebody does something screwy. Right. I actually did draft parties. The Dolphins, I don't think they do it anymore, but they would invite people to come do their draft during preseason game, and that was pretty cool. I went as a guest to critique the drafts and walk around and talk to people and give them advice, and it was really fun. I wish more teams would do stuff like that.
Yeah, people can let us know what they do for their drafts. And hopefully there's a lot of people out there who aren't like Adam and they don't just sit in front of a computer for 3 hours.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, then.
We're going to have to get you into
a
real-life
draft.
Oh,
how about make it an auction? Would that be more fun? Or just
16 people, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, it might be a little crazy.
By the way. It's 2-1.
Oh, no! With 3:26 to play, can we hold on for the gold? I'm actually rooting for Canada. Just to be different.
Shocking.
Why are we talking about a hockey game that's going to be over by the time people download this podcast?
Today's news and notes are brought to you by.
Goes to a shootout and they go for a long time.
Today's news and notes are brought to you by Squarespace.com. Ray Rice arrested for domestic dispute for his domestic dispute with his fiance. That was pretty shocking video that we saw coming off his worst season. Does this do anything? Does this affect anything?
Well, if they were to release him, it would actually cost them $5.5 million against their salary cap.
So he's going to stay.
Gary Kubiak has supported him and said that he's going to turn Ray Rice back around. And Ozzie Newsome, the general manager of the Ravens, has said they're fully supporting him. Now, this was initially after the arrest, before the video and the summons came out. So we'll see how this all plays out for Ray Rice. But it's not good. I mean, you know, you never want to have this type of situation, obviously. Off the field, and then, as you mentioned, Adam, coming off of his worst season, it's just bad. It's very troubling for him, and so he's got a lot of work to do. He's got to lose some weight. You know, there were some issues that he was playing about 12 pounds over his playing weight from the previous year. He's got to get used to a new system again, new offense coordinator, and he has to get some help. I mean, he needs a better offensive line in front of him, and he needs to really step up and play at a higher level.
Yeah, you guys have him 17th and 18th in your running back rankings. A couple of Falcons already working out. Roddy White. With an ankle injury, Julio Jones coming off the foot injury.
Yeah.
So things look good for them?
Yeah, hopefully that continues on and those guys are healthy and participating, not just in training camp, but in the mini camps over the spring. Atlanta, you know, they had to take pretty much a redshirt year, for lack of a better term, because when Julio went down, that was just the beginning of their problems. That was the beginning of their offensive problems, but their defense was a mess. They've got a nice draft pick this year. I'm sure they're going to look at Jadeveon Clowney as somebody to add in the draft. They might look offensive line, too. They're going to attack the line of scrimmage with their first pick.
Roddy White going in the fifth round, middle of the fifth round, before Harvin, before T.Y. Hilton, before Colston, in our latest 12-team standard scoring mock draft.
But where did Julio go?
Well, I think people are going to be pretty bullish on Julio.
It was interesting because there were a lot of people.
Oh, that's actually a little lower than I thought. Maybe not.
A lot of people questioned why I had him ranked where I have him ranked in comparison to A.J. Green. Because everybody looks at A.J. Green and they go, well, he's awesome and he played this year. And, you know, Julio was on pace to do this and that and then he didn't. So, you know, why is it that you have A.J. Green ranked a spot ahead of Julio Jones? And I don't know. I just think A.J. Green's a little bit safer. I love them both. Those would be two receivers that I'd love to get in, you know, mid to late round 2 / early round 3. I just don't think that'll be an option for many people.
Well, what about Roddy White mid round 5?
He's going to be in that mix, you know, of receivers in that, as early, I'll say, if he's 100%, 18 to 20 range, you know, all the way up to, you know, 25, 28. You know, it just depends on your feelings on him, because mm-hmm. the people who drafted him last year are going to be disappointed. And clearly it's a downturn for him where his career is at this point. You know, we knew that was coming when they drafted Julio Jones, and it's been a slow decline. Last year was a little bit more rapid because of the injuries, but, you know, he's still been able to put up good numbers. I think that team is really poised to have a tremendous bounce back mm-hmm. campaign. I think the loss of Tony Gonzalez is going to help Roddy White. So I think you're getting good value if you start to look at him in that round five spot.
Levine Toilolo.
You love that guy.
I think, you know, he's 6'8". So I see potential there.
Yeah. I don't know how much they're going to use him. I don't think they use him.
Well, I guess we'll find
anywhere
out.
As much as they used.
No, he
Gonzalez.
To me he's got like prior to the coaching change, he's got like Kyle Rudolph written all over him. Just a red zone guy, not going to put up a lot of catches, a lot of yards.
Some good games, bad games. Oh, we almost got an empty netter off the post. All right, David Wilson with that neck injury should be ready for training camp. That's huge news.
Yeah, you have to wonder though what the accurate reports are. You know, is it coming from David Wilson's camp, or is it coming from, you know, legitimate reports that he's ready to go? Clearly, he's headed in the right direction, which is a great sign. But I still think we need to see him on the field. We need to see how he's going to respond. You have to wonder, is there going to be fear of a setback, you know, if you draft him? So I was tempted after, you know, this update to move him a little bit higher in my rankings. Right now I have 50, to move him somewhere in that 40 range, because I do think if he does get on the field and stays healthy, he's going to be great. But there's just so many ifs. The Giants, what they're going to do, are they going to bring back Andre Brown? Are they going to add another running back? What's going to happen with that offensive line? So just on top of his injury situation, there's a lot of questions surrounding him as well.
Yeah, in the latest draft, I took Andre Brown in the 6th round and David Wilson in the 11th round.
Yeah, he had a great draft.
What are you going to do?
Thanks.
That's the perfect spot right now to get him, because with an 11th round pick, it's all speculation anyway.
Yeah. Right.
And it's good to get both of the guys in that backfield. Okay, the Arizona Cardinals GM says Andre Ellington, Dave, not a featured running back.
Well, he did a great job of talking him up, and there had been reports previously that said that Andre Ellington was going to put on some weight, but not enough to make him more durable and a little stronger, but not enough to impact how fast he is. And literally during the combine, one breath he's talking about how Andre Ellington's going to do that, and, you know, how he's got a body type compared to Chris Johnson and how he's speedy. And in the next minute, it's, but he's not going to be our featured back. And they like Stephon Taylor a lot. And he's a big, physical, slow, between-the-tackles type of runner. I think you're going to see those two guys in Arizona this year. The only way that changes is if they bring back Mendenhall. And Mendenhall would have to work cheap in 2014.
Well, you took Ellington possible. One spot ahead of Frank Gore at the end of round
four. He's
going
to be a very interesting player to gauge in drafts, if you ask me. I think that when you look at Andre Ellington, you see the speed, you see his ability, you see the potential for him to rack up 1,000 total yards, 6-7 touchdowns.
So do you think he'll eventually win the job? Be the guy.
I think I might take the chance on him getting that. I think yes. The answer to that question is yes, because I'm not a believer in anybody else in that running back.
Well, he's really the only one you've seen, because Taylor didn't get enough.
But
touches.
I saw Taylor in college.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Bowl.
I mean, how
yeah,
he's going to do
I
in
know
the
that
NFL?
He's not fast.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if he scores 10 touchdowns, you'll be happy with that. Lendale White wasn't fast, and he had a great season 1 year. So you're going to get production from somebody, but Ellington is the one that, you know, everybody has an eyeball test of what he could do on this level, and we saw it when it was the Falcons game when Mendenhall didn't play, and he was a superstar. He actually finished as the number 24 fantasy running back in standard leagues. Mendenhall was 25th. So
didn't they tie?
No.
I thought they had the same exact amount of fantasy points.
The ranking was 24-25, so maybe they had the same fantasy points. But that's still a very good indication of Ellington that not as a starter, not as a featured guy, didn't really get the same opportunities, same carries that Mendenhall got, that he was still just as productive. So if he gets, you know, let's say 50 more carries, 20 more catches, which I think he's capable of, then his numbers should really skyrocket. So I don't necessarily buy into what they're saying right now, because I still think even if Mendenhall's gone, they're going to add somebody else. And that's a team that could look at a veteran guy, especially, you know, given Bruce Arians and what he wants and what he needs. So while they like Ellington, while they like Taylor, there's still going to be somebody else in the mix.
I don't know about that necessarily. I think
they're not going there with two running backs. They're going to have to bring somebody else onto the roster.
They might, but I'm not sure if it's necessarily going to be some. I think it could very well be Ellington and Taylor to begin the year, and I think you could see Ellington kind of be the lead guy there. Like, I don't have a problem with where I took him in round four.
Okay.
Late round four, fine. Number two running back, fine. That's what he is.
Number two?
You don't think so?
No, he's without a doubt. Yes.
Well, if he's number two in that he slots between 13 and 24.
Well, what do you think that means? Yeah. Listen,
No. I mean, like, do you want him to be your second running back?
Yeah.
Or do you want like two top 14?
Well, look at
guys
what I did in that
like
draft. I took a running back, I believe, in round one. And then,
yeah, you took McCoy, Alfred Morris, Dez Bryant, Andre Ellington.
Right.
Steven,
I went a little
Steven
crazy
Jackson.
On running backs with my first five picks, but I know that the position is not very deep.
Right.
So
okay.
To get him as my flex in that league, I don't have a problem with that.
Lovie Smith not sold on Mike Glennon as his starter. Emmanuel Sanders likely gone in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers have high hopes for Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah, the Steelers general manager, he kind of, like, first question of his press conference at the Combine was about Sanders, and he kind of mumbled his way through it and didn't seem excited about it. And then when he got to Wheaton, he gave a bunch of excuses for why Wheaton didn't have a good year, cited that he had two broken fingers at different points throughout the year that he had to get fixed, disclosed that he had surgery for those fingers, and they're expecting big things for Wheaton. And, again, another guy that I saw at the Senior Bowl 2 years ago and liked a lot. So I think Pittsburgh likes him just as much, and we'll see him get an opportunity.
Yeah, whereas, right now he's the starter opposite on Antonio Brown.
Right. They and then Emmanuel Sanders could finally end up in New England.
They are expected to bring back Jericho Cotchery to be their third guy.
Yep.
Wheaton had targets in only 8 games last year. He had 18 total targets for the season. So he was really a disappointment. As Dave mentioned, the two broken fingers had a little issue because of league rules and getting into camp on time or off-season workouts. So he's somebody – I'm actually writing an early sleepers column now, and he's on the sleepers list because I think late-round pick where he went in this draft, I think it was like 130 overall, pick 130, somewhere around there.
138 for Marcus Wheaton.
So that's the type of guy you're looking for with a late-round pick, you know, your fourth receiver, your fifth receiver. Somebody who can really hit it big based on his opportunity. Since from week 8 on last year, the Steelers went no huddle.
Yeah.
And that's when Roethlisberger's numbers really took off. And I think you're going to see, because Wheaton stepping into that role, you're getting a healthy Heath Miller for the first time, you know, since in a year and a half. You're getting Antonio Brown playing off of career season. And Roethlisberger's going to rely on Wheaton. So he's one of those guys I think you definitely put on your radar to see how he does this offseason.
Just kind of not relevant or anything, just kind of funny, I think. Marcus Wheaton, a guy who's done nothing in his NFL career, goes 2 spots ahead of the quarterback who just won the Super Bowl.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
That's fantasy for you.
Yeah, a few more notes. Sounds like Chris Johnson will be released any day. Is that right?
Yeah, they're not going to pay him, nor should they. And, you know, I think his best days are clearly behind him. They've been behind him, really, since the 2,000-yard season. He's still serviceable, and he still will be a serviceable number two fantasy running back, but he's not somebody I think you're going to be excited to draft.
Denario Alexander's career is likely over. Jake Locker will be ready for OTAs. Sleeper quarterback?
No. There's too many other quarterbacks that...
Yeah, he'll do what he did last year. You won't draft him, and he'll come out and he'll have a few good games. You know, maybe he does what he did last year, does them in a row, and you'll pick him up, and unfortunately you'll probably deal with an injury or two because that's just the way that he is. But Ken Wisenhunt has done a very good job with the quarterbacks where he's been for the most part.
Yep. Okay. Some tight end notes. Fred Davis suspended indefinitely. Tony Gonzalez, CBS pregame show. Well, not just pregame, but NFL Today.
Yep.
That's cool.
Maybe a guest on our podcast sometime down the line.
I would imagine maybe a guest on Fantasy Football Today, the video show.
I think he'll be there, too.
We'll see if this solidifies that he's officially retired for good.
Well, he's talking like he is. He's talking like
right.
he is.
But he also was talking prior to signing with CBS. That
yeah, well, you know, the right situation. And it would he wants be to come back to like an undefeated
He said
Falcons
if the Falcons
team.
Were 10-0, he'd come back for a playoff push. Right. So we'll see what happens. If Atlanta gets off to a 10-0 start, we go from a 3-man team along with James Brown on NFL Today to a 2-man team of just Bill Cowher and Boomer Esiason.
I'm looking forward to the 3-man team as opposed to a 4-man team. Nothing personal.
A 4-man to a 5-man.
Yeah, 3 analysts. As
we had 5 guys on the NFL Today, and now it's under
And
four.
It's not that
for
I...
Now. For now.
It's not that I... Yeah, for now. I hope they keep it that way. I actually prefer a smaller studio show. You don't think they will?
I'm not saying anything.
Well,
they're going
know,
to for this season.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not going to say anything.
I don't know. I just, I don't know what happened when we got to the point where it just had to be like so many analysts involved in these shows. But hey.
Well, people like strong opinions and informed opinions.
Yeah, I know. But I think two people can give you that.
Potentially. Depends on who the two people are.
Jordan Reed over his concussion symptoms. And we're going to talk tight end tiers in just a little bit. Jordan Reed is a second-tier tight end, according to Dave, who is writing the tiers column. Is it already up?
It's up.
Okay.
It's live, baby.
Well, before we get into the tight end tiers, I want to remind everyone, today's podcast brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace.com, convenient and cheap. And they are constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, even better support, beautiful designs for you to start with, and all the style options you need. You can create your unique website for you or your business. Customer service, well, Squarespace has an amazing support team 24/7. They are working for you, and this is cheap. It starts at just $8 a month, includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And I know you like to use your phone for everything. Well, every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience to match the overall style of your website. So your content will look great on every device, every time. Start a free trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN to get 10% off and to show support for our podcast here. We thank Squarespace for their support of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. All right, we got an exceptional podcast with the tight end tiers. All right, Dave, so you're writing a column about the different tiers. You got four of them. Well, four of them that we're talking about.
Yeah.
The elite tier has four guys in it. Graham, Julius Thomas, Vernon Davis, and Rob Gronkowski. So does that mean you want to draft Rob Gronkowski because he's – or you want to draft the last one of those four?
I think you have to make the decision before you go into your draft just how important tight end is to you. And it's probably going to be – in some sort of relation to how important quarterback is to you. And in the past, we've talked about how you should only take one or the other within your first five picks. But then we've heard about people who took, you know, a quarterback and a tight end within their first three picks, and then they hit it later on in the draft and they do well. And then the pressure's off because they've got their stud quarterback. They don't have to take a backup at that position. They've got a stud tight end. They don't have to take a backup at that position. They can add one if they want to for their flex, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But the idea of just shopping for playmakers and shopping for guys that can be difference makers for your team, and I think there's four of those guys at tight end, and everybody knows who they are. It's Jimmy Graham. It's Julius Thomas. It's Vernon Davis. It's Rob Gronkowski. And even with Gronk coming back from the torn ACL, there's going to be some concern about him, but he's going to offer basically the same appeal that he did last year with an injury that's, believe it or not, a little bit safer. I think it's a little bit easier to kind of to feel good about Gronkowski coming off of a torn ACL versus the back issues and the forearm issues that he had last year, because that stuff was unpredictable. Back injuries always do that to you.
No, but it's just another injury. Like maybe
sure,
ACL's
and that might be the reason why
back.
You stay away from Gronk and you go after Vernon. Like I think Vernon Davis, I think Julius Thomas, Vernon Davis, and Rob Gronkowski will probably all get picked within 12 spots of each other. Whereas Jimmy Graham is going to be top five, top ten, something like that.
If Rob Gronkowski were fully healthy and Jimmy Graham were fully healthy, who would you rank first?
Graham.
Really?
Yeah, with Gronk right behind him.
How about you?
Same.
Graham. So I think Gronkowski's a better player.
I think he is, but there's the injury risk that's becoming a problem.
So maybe if I had phrased it as if they were both going to play 16 games, who would you rank?
Gronk.
That's a tough one.
He's proven to be better.
Yeah, but Jimmy Graham has stepped up and been great as well. I'd still take Graham.
Gronk was still a top 12 tight end last year with seven games. I mean, that's just how good he is.
Yeah, he's amazing. It's almost to the point
where Jimmy Graham would have finished as, I think, the third best receiver and fifth best running back.
Fifth best receiver.
And where would he be at running back?
Like seventh or eighth.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty. But who was better per game? Do we know?
I can do a little math. Well, Graham got off that huge start, and then he really tailed off. You know, he had the foot problem, too. I mean, you can't overlook that. He had the potential Lisfranc. That he played through.
And that's 2 years in a row for him with an injury, right?
Yeah.
Right, but he played through it and he still put up numbers with it.
Yeah, they're both amazing. But if
I don't have Gronk as a top 12.
If you were to,
by the way.
Yeah, he was top 12.
I've got him out of the top 12. Gronk averaged 11.4 points per game. That's second best in fantasy. to Jimmy Graham, who had 13.2.
Wow. Oh, but Gronk played like one.
No, it's effective. It's as if Gronk played seven games.
Okay. Gotcha.
So we took all of his fantasy points, divided it by seven, got 11.4.
But was there one game where he played like a series and then got hurt, or was I thinking of the year before? Or am I thinking of Aaron Hernandez the year before? Something happened with the Patriots tight end.
Home and Awanui.
Maybe it was Hernandez against the Cardinals when he got hurt a couple years ago.
That sounds like it happened. Okay. You might be exactly right. It might have been that game against Arizona.
Well, I hope I'm right. Or else I feel really stupid.
Listen, you can't go wrong with either one of them if Gronk was magically healthy and, you know, no ailments whatsoever.
Do you want to talk about this more generally, the overlying theme
with tight ends, and the strategy that I'd give you is if you don't get one of those first four, you might as well wait. And don't spend, you know, don't reach for one of the other quarterbacks that's in the second tier or the third tier. If they fall into your lap and you're comfortable taking them, hopefully we're talking tight ends. I'm sorry. Round 6, 7, 8, wherever it may be, go ahead and do it. But it just the priority of getting a tight end drops exponentially if you don't get one of those first four.
You got to get Graham in round one if you want him.
He's got to be your first pick.
And then I think you're going to look Thomas, Davis, Gronk in that 3-4 range.
And then after that?
Then after
it's going to depend on your format.
Then after that, I would look if he's 100% healthy. Dennis Pitta is the next guy by far. I think you're looking at him round 6. And then after that, then I'd wait. I wouldn't take any of those other guys.
Well, Dave has Witten and Jordan Cameron ahead of Dennis Pitta.
Yeah, just not sure. In a PPR league, I might change that up a little bit. But I don't know if Pitta's coming back to break out.
Would you guys be surprised if Jordan Reed outperforms Witten, Cameron, and Pitta?
No.
No, but I don't know if it's going to happen because of the coordinator that he has, the quarterback that he has, and the injury concerns for him, too.
You know, what's interesting is you take away the injury concerns. I like the quarterback that he has, and I like the coordinator that he has, and I like the head coach that he has. The quarterback leaned on him quite a bit last year. The offensive coordinator.
He isn't healthy, though.
That's a fair point. The offensive coordinator is the former tight ends coach of the Redskins, so he knows Jordan Reed better
than
anybody.
I'm sorry. I wasn't talking about the
You're talking about Jay Gruden?
Yeah.
I don't want to trust Jay Gruden if I can help it, unless it's Alfred Morris. It's the only, and that's assuming that they don't bring in another running back or they don't give Roy Alou more work.
I think Gruden
hurts
Alfred Morris.
Hmm?
Gruden hurts Alfred Morris.
Why?
Because he wants to throw more than he wants to run.
Yeah, that was his M.O. in Cincinnati.
And Shanahan was great for Morris.
Yeah. I still think that Alf can be a solid runner, and I think if he doesn't have a guy taking carries away from him the same way that Ben Jarvis and Gio.
You know, Alpha's good. I don't want to make it an Alpha conversation, but Gruden hurts Morris more than he helps him.
I don't know if he necessarily hurts Reed. I think it really depends on who else is in that receiving core in Washington.
Yeah, if he's the second best receiver
exactly.
on the team.
Well, he will be. No, Reed's good. But,
no, but you don't know if they go out and they make a big splash and get Eric Decker or something
you're right.
Like
no,
that.
Reed definitely is good. He's definitely a top 10 tight end. He just there's a long way to go there for him before he's in. I think he's right in the second tier, but there's still a long way to go for him before he's top 6.
There's also appealing upside with him, and that's going to draw people to him because you look at Greg Olsen, you go, meh, 7-8 points a week. Occasionally have a week with 13. Some weeks he'll have 2 or 3. That's who Greg Olsen is, and that's why I don't want to, you know, reach for a guy like that. And if I'm looking at Greg Olsen, well, I might as well take a chance on a sleeper tight end.
Sure.
Guy like Kyle Rudolph.
The guy went
who's going to get the Norv Turner touch.
Of this tier at all is Jordan Cameron. Now that the coaching change has happened, he to me is hands off.
You don't look at him as
I don't know. I think it really depends on who the quarterback is.
You don't look at his talent, though, and think he could.
No, I think he's closer to Greg Olsen at best. And I'd rather take Greg Olsen.
I think there's a little more upside.
I hate Jordan Cameron because I
okay.
stuck with him.
Yeah,
that's how a lot of people feel.
And he had his huge week, and I missed the playoffs.
So then the question is
I don't hate him though. I think he's cool.
You're still going to be able to get him at a decent value in your draft. Like if he's there in round 8 and you need a tight end, he's a name you know that there's upside.
I'd rather take Ertz.
do you rather take Ertz later, right? Like, that's the whole point. You're not taking Ertz in round 8, you're taking Ertz in round 11.
If I'm choosing between those two, I'd rather take Ertz whenever I get him.
You have Ertz ranked ahead of Cameron? No, you don't, though. You have Cameron ranked 2 spots ahead.
Yeah, I need to fix that.
You should fix that. And I like Ertz, too. There's a lot of tight ends that are starting to kind of come off as being potential sleepers. And I think the more sleeper tight ends that we have, and there's going to be a couple in this draft that we can keep an eye on.
Yeah, but rookie tight ends don't really pan out. That's
I know, and I've been suckered into those guys before. Tyler Eifert.
A rookie tight end?
A rookie tight end. But there are some
I
guys.
I like this. I mean, it depends on the scenario. It's not like Eifert maybe he could have been good. Right, but he went through a terrible
you could
scenario
even look at
him.
Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski. It wasn't like they came into the NFL and were outstanding. When's the last time a tight end came into the NFL and
was Shockey really good as a rookie?
I don't think he was ever like amazing for fantasy. He might have had 1 or 2 really good years, and I don't remember his rookie year being that way.
All right, well, it doesn't really matter because if Graham and Gronkowski weren't that good, then I think your point is taken. But I am going to probably drool over Ebron if he goes through a good scenario.
Sure, sure.
But okay.
And AS,
come on, score, dude!
Dude, it's women's
game. I know. Oh, we're in overtime with the gold medal game. How do you just not care, Dave?
I don't know. You're doing a pretty good job with this podcast.
No, come on.
You're watching a hockey game when we're supposed
so
to be talking
Jamie.
About tight ends. I'm not talking to Jamie. I'm talking to you.
I'm sorry. I'm very patriotic.
I love this country.
I'm patriotic too, man. No, I care. I'm engaged in the
conversation. Some sleeper tight ends to keep an eye on. Kyle Rudolph is one that I know we both like. Zach Ertz is one that we both like. Dwayne Allen.
Why?
Because I think Kobe Fleener's garbage.
And Dwayne Allen's done what?
I think Dwayne Allen's going to score a lot of touchdowns this year. Ladarius Green, Joe Fourier, keep an eye on him. They like him in Detroit. And the one thing that the new offensive coordinator there talked about was how he was going to use the Saints playbook as the basis of his new playbook in Detroit. And if they don't have Jimmy Graham. No, but Fourier could potentially get some of that
stuff. They want to use Fourier like they use Jimmy Graham. Clearly, right. He's not Jimmy Graham, but...
Like I know that
last
you're going
year, the ability you can get from him in the you know
he's
increased
such a
role.
Huge red zone target right.
Brandon Pettigrew's not going to be back, so there's a lot to like about Joseph Fourier.
Even if Pettigrew is back, who cares? But like Adam, you're going Goo Goo Gaga over Toyolo in Atlanta. I think I think Fourier is the one that you kind of have to.
Yeah, and I would
at.
Even say I think Tyler Eifert's going to get a benefit because Jermaine Gresham could be gone, although that remains to be seen because the Bengals have a lot of cap space. They don't have to necessarily make that move, and they like Gresham as a blocker. Keep an eye on
They're also going to run the ball.
Travis Kelce in Kansas City. Anthony Fasano looks like he's going to be back, but if he's not, that's going to really open the door for Kelce to get a lot of extra playing time, and he's somebody that he might have been the best tight end in the class, as good as Eifert is, and we'll see if he gets an opportunity to prove it because right now he needs a lot of help. In getting to that point.
Ertz was in that class, too. It's going to be interesting to see who the tight ends that we like a lot of sleepers are. Because the more sleeper tight ends we get, the better it is to just wait.
Yeah.
It really is. Because right now, you look at the tight ends that are available, and you go, oh, God, am I really going to like end up with Greg Olsen or Martellus Bennett or Delaney Walker as my tight end? No, and it's going to push you to almost reach for one of the other tight ends in Thomas, Vernon Davis, or Gronkowski. So the more tight ends that we can get going and the more tight ends that we can feel good about, you know, a few months from now, the better stock that position will be for everybody.
There's going to be some guys that emerge. I mean, last year it was Charles Clay. It was Delaney Walker. You know, those two guys specifically.
Yeah, but when you say emerged, it's not like they emerged like Julius Thomas emerged.
No, Julius Thomas was a superstar.
Right.
I mean, these guys
became
top 12 guys.
There's
going to
be maybe one of those guys.
Delaney Walker, once he became relevant, had an 8-game stretch, you know, where he missed some time in there. But he had an 8-game stretch where he was really good. Charles Clay was really good. He just didn't feel comfortable starting him. I mean, these guys both finished top 12 tight ends. And again, you know, you're not talking about Jimmy Graham production. I almost think, though, if you have an opportunity to take Graham, Thomas, Gronk, or Vernon Davis with, you know, pick in the third round, definitely if either of those latter three are there in the fourth round, it's a no-brainer.
Now,
is more important than your second receiver.
Is there a situation where you would try and take two of those guys?
No.
I don't think there is either. Even if you're in a league with, you know, multiple flex spots, PPR.
The only way would be
if
Gronk is on the pup list and he just falls like he did last year. So I did that in one league and I was happy with it. But, you know, you're talking about like round 6, round 7 as opposed to two guys
okay.
in the
so
first
spot. A scenario, if you take Jimmy Graham in round 1 and you've got a running back in 2, a running back in 3, and so you're never going to take a quarterback early because I know you, a wide receiver in 4, and Vernon Davis is there in round, or Gronk is there in round five. Are you going to pass him over, or are you going to
I'd rather, you know, get more help elsewhere as opposed to taking something away from somebody else.
See, I don't know if there's going to be anybody left. Right. Like, I don't know if there's
It's strategy somebody
it's
can.
It's the situation
of
one of these guys falling to you. Like, they have to fall in your lap, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, a great strategy is to get Graham in round one and then Julius Thomas in round three. You know, don't do that. You don't need to do that.
Right. If I had Graham in round one and Gronkowski fell in round five, I could see the merits to that. He's your flex. You might have just gotten basically like a top five wide receiver. You know, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The guy who's going to perform that well and having that kind of player as your flex.
Yeah. Now we'll talk about this.
And you dilute the position for everyone else.
We'll talk about this more next week. But the win percentage. Now, this is players that impacted the most wins for fantasy owners, not championships. So regular season wins. There are only seven tight ends that finished above 500. So it's a very thin position in terms of talent and those guys helping you. And one of those guys was Dennis Pitta, who was added to teams, not necessarily started, but he was added to teams, and he actually had the highest win percentage of tight ends last year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's very strange.
Graham was, as you expect,
that makes no sense to me.
Well, what it is that people picked him up, the people who were still competitive.
They were
still competitive. Okay. They already had loaded rosters, and you added Dennis Pitta. And that's a smart thing to do. And that's why, as we'll talk about next week, Pitta was in that group. Michael Crabtree's in that group.
Yeah.
Pitta was never started because the week that he went for his best game was his first game back of the four, and he was just picked up heavily.
Right, right. Okay, well, that makes sense. Ready for some tweets and emails, fellas?
Sure,
definitely.
Okay, you can follow us on Twitter, at Dave Richard, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, and at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at CBS Fantasy, F-B, for all your fantasy football awesome needs.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Which of these running backs would you want?
Oh, crap, I'm so sorry,
C.J. Spiller, Dave. Chris Johnson, and Ben Tate.
I'm so sorry.
Just quickly. We'll do it for a couple
Spiller
minutes.
Spiller, one.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, it depends on so much that happens in the offseason. But right now,
as
if I were
it stands
drafting,
now.
Ben Tate, Chris Johnson.
Wow, Chris Johnson dead last on that list. Interesting. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm going to eventually get there with wherever Johnson and Tate end up. Because once Johnson's cut by the Titans, I think he's going to end up in a bad situation.
I think he might end up in a good situation. So I'll go the other way for now and say Chris Johnson's the leader of the pack because I know C.J. Spiller.
Ahead of Spiller?
I know Spiller is going to split carries. I know it's going to happen. And Ben Tate, I'm just not as huge a big of a fan.
If Fred Jackson stays healthy.
Yeah, C.J. Spiller's got to stay healthy.
That's true.
Chris Johnson has been the pitcher of health. He's also been the pitcher of very much up and down play at running back. We'll see where he ends up.
I always found one of the hard things in fantasy is dealing with injury-prone players who are coming off a healthy season.
Right.
Do you ignore Fred Jackson's past? I'm going through this right now with baseball. J.J. Hardy, for example. Josh Hamilton.
I know that
guy. Two straight years of like 158 games for Hardy. Hamilton's been healthy two straight years, but in their past, terrible. So I don't know. I don't know if injury history leaves someone.
See, I would point to Fred Taylor because back in the day, Fred Taylor was known as Fragile Freddy, and he got hurt often, and then he started to string together several seasons of playing every game or playing almost every game. So I think once you're over it, you kind of get the benefit of the doubt.
DeMarco
Matthew
Murray.
Stafford's another example. Remember his first 2 years in the league were littered with injuries.
Yeah.
And now he's got a good offensive line protecting him. And, I mean, he can throw interceptions like it's nobody's business.
DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, I think, will be little kind of case studies. Would you agree?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, Murray is one of those interesting guys for me because, yes, DeMarco Murray, because I don't know if I necessarily think of him as a slam dunk first round pick. I think you do, Jamie.
No, second round pick.
Okay.
But I get the sense that Jamie likes him more than you do.
Right, because I'm just,
where they're taken.
I don't mind taking him. I just know that I've got to get his backup with him because when he does play, he's usually very good.
He missed time last year, too. Can't discount it.
A couple games.
He did. If I see a running back play like 14, how many games did he play?
At least
I think
14.
It was 14.
14 or 15. If I see a running back play 14 games, I'm almost happy with it.
Oh, yeah. 13 plus for me is the number.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tweets now. T. Smitty, would you rather have Wheaton or Emmanuel Sanders in a PPR dynasty league and Ivory or Ridley in that same league?
It's hard to say where Sanders is going to end up, so I'll say Wheaton and Ridley.
Wheaton and Ridley. Dave?
Wheaton's the easy answer. I think Ridley's the one I'd rather take over Ivory. I just think he's got a little bit more staying power in the league. Just a little. But both of them are kind of meh. Mm. Okay. Especially in a PPR dynasty. I hope you've got other running backs.
Neil Bobble. Would you keep Justin Blackmon in a PPR dynasty league?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bip Hernandez, if Decker becomes a Jet, will it increase his value or decrease his value?
It's good that this keeps this topic going for 3 weeks in a row now. I would say decrease.
I would agree. I think there. I don't know how many situations he can go to where his fantasy value would even stay the same.
New England.
Sure. New England's one.
I don't know.
But like we had this debate with, I think it was with Welker. Like when there was talk about if he were to go and leave New England, well, where could he possibly go where he would actually have equal fantasy value? And it was Denver, and that's exactly where he wound up. So, like, if you put Eric Decker in New Orleans,
he'd be great.
I think he'd be great. Yep. I think if you put him in New York or in Washington or Jacksonville, or, you know,
Giants, he'll be great.
Insert team that'll put a ton of money into a player who did better than his stats suggest, or didn't do as good as his stats suggest.
Think Sammy Watkins can make it to 12th?
Nope. Yes.
Be very interesting if he's on the board for the Giants. All right.
There's zero chance.
How are you pronouncing this guy's last name? C-O-R-M-I-E-R.
Cormier.
Cormier? Okay. I hope it's not Cormier. Chuck Cormier. 12-team PPR, first year. We are doing
Cormier.
A keeper. Definitely not that. He has the 12th pick. Keep Forte as a first-round pick or Crabtree as a 16th-round pick?
Forte.
Yeah, you got to go with the better talent.
Oh, come on. Score. Oh, you're such a bum.
These are Olympians.
Bum. Olympic. Oh, no. Oh. That's got to be a penalty.
Nope.
Yeah, penalty. Delay penalty. Very. That's a shame. Okay. Hopefully it's not a penalty shot. TP wants to know, Edelman or Jordan Reed in the 12th round? 3-round penalty each year after, so it's a long-term decision.
I think assuming Edelman stays in New England, it's got to be him.
That's if he stays in New England, though. But he's a guy that's going to chase dollars.
Yeah, watch him wind up with the Jets. Then I don't know if I like him as much.
All right, so if Edelman stays, we go Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
Rigo wants to know, 12-team league, 4 keepers. I have RG3, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Lacy, Foster, and Tate. RG3, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Lacy, Foster, and Tate.
One's easy. RG3's gone.
Right, you have to let
you've
go
got to
of
let go of two of those guys.
I'd say Tate is the other.
The problem is I bet in his league he had to pony up something to have RG3, so it might be a little hard for him to let him go.
Not when you have those other 4 guys.
I agree. I think you're right. RG3 and Tate, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple more here, and then we'll do some emails. What do you guys think of Dre Archer and DeAnthony Thomas, seeing how little Tavon was able to do? This is from Jesse Lucas.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Where they go.
It really depends on where they go. I love DeAnthony Thomas.
There
Oregon.
Has not been
he was
one
a lot of fun, but there,
Oregon
no one's
player
talking about
that's
him.
Done well in the NFL. Has there been one?
Ever?
Since the Chip Kelly era? None of them have done well. It's
so.
Been pretty, like that, it's not like, okay, the jury's still out on these guys. You know, they're still young, like LaMichael James. But so far, it just hasn't translated.
Yeah.
But DeAnthony Thomas is a different type of talent.
I wonder if you're going to talk about that next year when Mariota comes out. And he's, you know.
Is he still a Chip guy, though?
Yeah.
Even though Chip
well,
recruited him.
I think so.
I don't know a damn thing about Dre Archer, by the way. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Did you just call him Dre?
It is Dre.
Not Dre?
No. I just had to Google him. He's on Kent State. And, yeah, I don't know much about him. Running back.
Yes.
They're small running backs.
Well, there's a name that's not even on this list that people are excited about named Terrence West. That's a guy to keep an eye on. Small school guy. I believe it's a small school guy.
The question is, really, I think the question is about small running backs, 5'9", 5'8", running
mm-hmm.
backs, or small players at all, since he brought up Tavon Austin. Are you going to go nuts over any rookie running backs?
Probably.
Yeah?
There's always a couple.
Okay. I'm going SEC.
Remember, a lot of these teams, they're devaluing the running back position. They're staying away from paying guys like Chris Johnson and Darren McFadden and
a lot of big
these
names
running backs,
there.
Yeah,
Drew.
MJD's going to be out there. They don't want to pay those guys big money. They'd rather draft young guys. It makes sense.
Lock'em Four expects D'Angelo Williams to be cut.
Yeah.
Let's get some emails here.
Yeah, it's going to be new blood at the position.
LeGarrette Blount will be out there.
Which is going to lead to more tandems, and it's going to be annoying.
5 minutes of emails. I'm just so nervous right now watching our ladies. kill this penalty.
You don't answer SC's tweets that I spend time trying to pull
through? No, 5 minutes and he goes, Jared in Seattle. Been trying to figure out what is a good situation for, Oh, no, come on.
And as you could guess.
That sucks. Are you kidding? Oh, they had a 5-on-3.
At 2:51 p.m. Eastern time on February 20th. Adam
they
Azer
were a minute away from winning the gold.
The Canadians take the gold.
That sucks. Actually, that's really disappointing.
Choke.
Not if you're from Canada. Yeah, doesn't suck then, does it?
A minute away.
It's a tough loss.
It is a very tough loss. Jared in Seattle, trying to figure out what's a good situation for a kicker. Is it good to have a really good offense? Can it be too good so the kicker never kicks field goals? Do you take indoor-outdoor stadiums into account?
Well, I mean, the best kicker of two of the last 3 years was Steven Gostkowski, which is, you know, you would think traditionally based on where they play and weather, that doesn't work out in his favor. But they move the ball so well, and he gets so many chances that he's typically good. He kicks a lot of extra points usually as well. So I look for offense. You know, if the team has a good offense, that's usually the kicker I would like to get. And then indoor would be the second thing I look at.
I'd basically just look for a kicker that might be able to get 3 field goals in week one. And that's the kicker I target in the draft. It is because
it's fine.
I don't if I'm going to play waiver wire roulette at kicker, which is probably just as good as getting one kicker and sticking with them the rest of the season. I mean, it's just it's fluky with them. It really is.
Nick in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 10-team half point PPR. You can start up to 4 wide receivers with the flex. I can keep 3. Right now, I'm keeping Jordy Nelson for a 12th-round pick and Josh Gordon in the 11th round. So you can keep one more. Julio Jones in the 6th or Alf in the 4th?
If Julio's healthy, I go Julio.
Mm-hmm. I would too.
Adam?
Oh, my God. And the receivers that he'd have would dominate the league. Mm-hmm. He can draft 1 or 2 more max, and he can spend all of his other picks on other positions. He'll have 23 running backs on his roster.
Adam on the southern tip of the Salish Sea. 12-team half-point PPR, keep up to 2 players. First or second-round picks aren't eligible to be kept, and players can only be kept 1 year. So he can keep 2. Pierre Garçon in the 3rd, Keenan Allen in the 7th, Alshon Jeffrey in the 9th, Jay Cutler in the 14th.
I think you go with the latter 2 receivers of Allen
I agree.
And Jeffrey in the 7th and the 9th, even though I love Pierre Garçon.
I bet you can get him back in round 3, even in that league.
Potentially. But yeah, the value for the other 2 guys is much better.
By the way, I think Omar, Avon, and Stringer are the Wire characters.
Oh, your favorite show.
Yeah, my least favorite show. Finish Breaking
Bad,
though.
Way to reference something from like half an hour.
I know. More than that, actually. And finally, Brian in Philly says, Peter, Joe, and Quagmire, 12-team. I'm really upset about this hockey game.
Do you need to leave?
This sucks.
Do you need to take a minute here?
It sucks.
Adam, just take a minute. Breathe in.
It's tough being a Knicks fan, and now I just feel like the Americans can...
You didn't bet on this game, did you?
No, I didn't bet on this game. 12-team PPR, keep 1 for the round stated next to the name.
We still got silver.
We're Americans.
Do you know Seinfeld's bit on the Olympics?
No.
He said the difference between being the most famous person in the world and the difference between somebody don't know is this and this.
Oh, like with your head?
Run a race.
Yeah. Okay, keep 1. 12-team PPR. Allen in the 15th. Crabtree in the 10th, Andre Brown in the 6th, Monte Ball in the 4th, Donald Brown in the 15th.
I think you got to go Allen with the value.
Unless something happens where Monte Ball, surefire starter in Denver, no questions asked, going to be the man, going to get 20 touches a week, in which case I might move to Monte Ball.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. Congratulations to Canada.
For the gold in women's hockey.
Yeah, that was amazing.
A gutty win.
It wasn't necessarily
there is a Canadian
gutty
in our
win, just an amazing,
Really?
Yeah, right behind you.
Yeah. Just an amazing come from behind victory.
Who, her?
And that's what makes sports great.
Her.
Oh.
She was doing a little dance.
Oh, well, good for her. Well, now I'm happy.
And we definitely have listeners in Canada. A lot of people in Canada play fantasy football.
Hey,
they're
look.
Bored with the CFL. They come for the NFL and fantasy.
My other two favorite teams in the Winter Olympics, just because of proximity, would be Canada and Mexico. So I'm glad.
Yeah, right. Our neighbors to the north.
One of them was able to win the hockey gold medal.
Like, what's your least favorite country?
Ooh, what's the furthest away? I guess I'd like maybe Australia.
Maybe.
Wow.
It's pretty far.
We have a lot of listeners in Australia, bro.
We do.
I'm just, you know, like you pick the teams that you grow up closest to, right?
You should have picked a Brazil or something, or a team that's just not competing in the winter.
You grew up in Coral Springs. You like all New York teams?
I was born in Staten Island, New York, Jamie. You know this. See you later, everybody. I love Australia, by the way. I'm sorry about that. Bye.
Do you even own a kangaroo?
Bye.